Today on Real Radio.
These are economic horrific times, but these are tremendous times for the church to step up. And that's not the person sitting next to you. That is you. And by doing that, you will be honoring the third commandment. You will not be taking the Lord's name in vain.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, we've been exploring the third commandment, which says that we're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. And today, Pastor Jack presents more in this mini-series. We'll be taking our scripture today from Exodus chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 5. And here with our lesson today is Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We're to maintain a family altar at home. Families tonight, if you don't have an altar, start one tonight. Say, what do you mean? It could be the kitchen table. It could be the coffee table. Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith and his wife, I remember he spoke at this church years ago. He's in heaven now. He told us that he, every day in Switzerland, where he was from, and his kids, they would all pile on their bed every morning. The kids would come automatically onto their bed, and they would have their family devotions in their jammies on the bed every morning. All the kids. Every day. What a great tradition to have. What a great thing to do. Does your home have an altar? And I think it should be awesome. I think it should be something that ministers to the life of a kid. If it's climbing a tree in your backyard, making that the altar where you sit there and talk about God and talk about the perspective of God and how God sees all things from where he's at. Whatever it is, find a place. Build an altar. Calvary, church, family, build an altar. Maybe it is that sheet over the dining room table with a flashlight and a Bible, and you get underneath there and say, let's talk about David cutting Goliath's head off. Great bedtime story. Just sawing through the vertebrae. It's amazing. You know, but share with them. Family altar. Ephesians 5, verse 24. Ephesians 5, 24 says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Say, what? That should be illegal. Wait, next verse. Husbands, love your wives. A lot of men are going to say, that should be illegal. Nope. This is the way God engineered it. It works. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. The greatest thing you can do to raise up kids for Jesus is to love your husband and love your wife. They'll follow. They'll pick up on it. And you know it's working when dad's kissing mom and the kid goes, stop it, you're killing me. Don't do that. Let me tell you, they love it. They love it. Sends them a sense of security. And when parents fight and they are eating each other alive, it scares the kid to death inside, scares them. It gets a knot in his stomach. They might get diarrhea or vomiting because they see mom and dad eating each other up. And listen, every time there's a broken home, every time there's a broken home, a child pays the price. You say, no, I don't believe it, man. I had to pay that attorney $50,000. That was stupid money spent. That was nothing compared to what that kid is paying and will pay for the rest of his life. Because mom and dad wouldn't follow Jesus, the kid pays the price. Always, always the innocent pays the price, always. Didn't Jesus pay the price? Was he not innocent? Always the sinner gets to go away free and forgiven. The innocent always pays, and children are the victims of a broken home. And I wish I could be some cosmic dictator right now and snap my fingers and nobody could break up their homes anymore. Wouldn't that be great if I could just throw some kind of dust on you and it's like, I can't go anywhere. I got to make this work. Oh, if I could do it, I would do it, and I mean it. No, I really mean it. If I could do it, I would do it. That you'd have to make your home work. To get a husband and a wife and grab them by the hair and say, kiss and make up. the public life. The third thing is the public life under this point. It matters where we take up his name. We must be witnesses in our public life. And that's going to happen, church, if we like it or not. It's just, what kind of witness are we laying down? We shouldn't have to talk up our Christianity. It should scream from our lives, Christian. Do you guys remember a long time ago? I don't remember who wrote it. I think Brian Duncan used to sing this song, something, but it goes something like this, that if you were arrested, would they have enough evidence? If you were arrested as a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the evidence that was stacked against him was overwhelming, that he was a Christian and did not fear Hitler. Right? Daniel, was there enough evidence on Daniel's life to convict him? Absolutely. He was convicted, thrown into the lion's den. Were the apostles convicted of being Christians? Every one of them. The only one that died of old age was John from Patmos. He was banished to the island. According to church history, he was boiled in oil, but when they pulled John up out of the kettle, he looked great. And they said, what in the world is this? So we're banishing you to Patmos. That's how God got him to Patmos, to give him the book of Revelation. He's the only guy that died of old age. He died in Ephesus, by the way. Several of us have been there on a tour, and John died there. All the rest of them died for their faith in Jesus. Public. Wow. And as a church, listen, as a church, it is absolutely essential that we exercise more and more in these last days, these dangerous days, these dark days, a public witness as a church. We're excited to tell you. We haven't concluded what it's going to look like yet, but we're about ready to meet with the mayor's office to figure out how we can start pouring our efforts into our community around us, people that are hurting. We're going to be mobilizing. You say, who? You. I'm talking to you. You're going to be mobilized. We're going to have projects. We're going to get up and we're going to go help people in our community that are hurting. They can't make their payments, or she can't mow her lawn because her hip is broken, or the old gentleman cannot paint his fence because he's got to paint it, but he can't do it. We're going to do it. You're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to get our young people together and get their lawns, whatever, and we're asking the mayor's office, give us projects. Give us things. Because you know what's a really, really great moment? Truly it is. Because you know, for God's people, it's always a great moment. These are economic, horrific times. But these are tremendous times for the church to step up. And that's not the person sitting next to you. That is you. And by doing that, you will be honoring the third commandment. You will not be taking the Lord's name in vain. You will be taking the Lord's name publicly everywhere you go. Isn't that exciting? I love it. And then third and final point before we get ready to worship. Third and final point, it's this. It matters when we take up his name. It matters when. When? Yeah, it matters when. Like number one, because others are judging God by you and I. You see, listen, church, we are not Christians on Sunday. We're Christians all day Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, constantly. I know you mean well when you say this, but I hear it from time to time. Hey, preacher, I know you're off the clock, but I have a question for you. Listen. As believers, we're never off the clock. We're never off the clock. We don't want to, listen, there is no clock. God is, listen, I know this sounds strange, but you need to hear that. God is being judged by an unbelieving world that watches you and I. Do you hear that? Do you hear what I'm saying? That's how we honor, exalt, and not take his name in vain. When we live for his glory, listen, tonight you're going to be done. You're going to go do your thing. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You're going to go get yogurt. You're going to go home. You're going to go to bed. You're going to go, what are you going to do? Whatever you do, Do it all to the glory of God. And if you do that, see, how can you eat yogurt to the glory of God? You can thank him. And, you know, get your yogurt in the shape of a dove or something. I don't know. But you can thank him for one thing. You know, put peanuts on it in the shape of the cross or something. I don't know. But whatever we do, you're going to go play basketball? Do it. Have fun. Praise God. Somebody gets an elbow in the eyeball, you say, man, let's pray for this guy right now. He's going to bleed out right here. Seriously. I was talking to a friend of mine today who was on CNN, and they were talking about the definition of marriage, because that's all back in the news again. And if you don't know Jim Garlow, I get to hang around with some pretty intense people. Jim Garlow is a genius, for one thing. I mean a genius. He's an amazing pastor, and he loves to debate. He's been in over 853 television interviews. The guy's amazing. He's got an amazing ability to stay cool in the most difficult camera attack situation ever. He's amazing. And Elliot Spitzer was going after him about homosexuality and the definition of marriage. And Jim Garlow, Pastor Jim, just said it like it is. Uncompromising, amazing. And the guy before the program, I mean, on the program says, we're sorry that our previous guest took up so much time, Mr. Garlow. We only have 6 minutes with you. Jim Garlow gave such a defense for Jesus, logic and reason, culture, and 5,000 years of history, because he's got his master's or doctorate in history also, that not only did Elliot Spitzer go past the six-minute mark, he kept telling Jim Garlow, now we're going to have to wrap this up, but the non-believer kept asking the questions. And Garlow, you can watch it on YouTube or on CNN Live. Jim Garlow's the one that says at 9 minutes on national TV, he says, now listen, we're going to, the guest says, now we're going to have to be wrapping this up. God gave him the whole CNN program. He gives the gospel. God is honored. And the poor guy, Elliot Spitzer, if you know who I'm talking about, was completely undone. You can watch it on TV. He's going, he goes like this, what about God? What? It was amazing. It was amazing. You say, what's your point? My point is that the world is judging our God by how you and I live. They're watching us. Our neighbors are watching us. They're forming an opinion about who our God is. I tell you what, one thing people know about the God of Islam, he must demand obedience, and he must demand very strict sacrificial life, on the surface anyway. But so many people get a different message from Christians. They judge our God by the life that you and I live. The next thing is this. It matters when we take up his name because others will see the real Jesus in us. They'll see the real Jesus in our lives. So it really matters when. And you think about, well, what does that look like? Remember, Jesus died for our sins. And there's a time in our lives where when you're not at church, maybe it's 100 degrees outside trying to find a parking spot at the store or some whatever it is. And you know that thing in your life where it just kind of gets you? That was my spot. Like it has your name on it, but that was my spot. Or whatever, or you cop this attitude and you get snippy. How many of you have been snippy? Is that the right word, snippy? Okay, now the rest of you did not put your hands up. Put your hands up. Did you put your hands up? You bunch of liars, you see this. You're lying. You liar. People get like this. We're like that. Irritable. Right? Don't talk to me until I have a cup of coffee. I mean, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Just don't talk to me. Right? I have to have my coffee in the morning. That's why I have to get up so early. Nobody's up. Right? I have to get up early because nobody's awake. There's nobody to sin against at that hour. Because you have to have coffee. What's important about that is that people will see the real Jesus in us. And I mean this, how much does Jesus have a hold of you? And isn't that the cry of the Christian heart? Lord, I don't want to take your name in vain. I want you to have more of me. People will say, How much of God do you have, brother? How much God do you have? Listen, I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about how much God has of me. That's the winning ticket. Because if I'm surrendered to him, it's all the rest of it's over. How much of me does he have? How much of you does he have? So as believers, we say, Lord, be real in my life. That's what we're saying. Lord, you be real in my life. You take total control in your thoughts. What's your plans? He's real. What's your dreams, aspirations? What are they? He'll be real there. Jesus said in Revelation 2:13, he says, I know your works, and I know where you live. He says, you live where Satan's throne is. He must have been in L.A. And he says, hold fast to my name. You know, white knuckle, hold fast. Jesus says, hang on to my name because I know where you guys live. You live right where Satan hangs out. What's Jesus' rule? He doesn't say, I'll get you out. I'll get you out. He says, hang on. Isn't that cool? Remember when Jesus said to Peter, I love this. Jesus says, Peter, Satan came to me and asked me to let him have you. He called you by name, Peter. Can you imagine? Satan came to Jesus and said, I want Peter. I want to rip him in half. And Jesus says he wants to sift you as wheat. That sounds cute. You should know what that means. It's a massive log with spikes in it that it's drugged by a donkey across wheat that has been harvested and cut down and thrown into a pit. That's the word Satan used. I want to sift Peter like wheat. I want to rip his guts open from the top of his head to the. I want to peel the skin off his feet. And Jesus, I'm sure Peter's going, yeah, so. I mean, so what? I mean, Peter, Satan asked you for me, but. I mean, you said no, right? And Jesus said, no. When you return, strengthen your brothers. Can you imagine? You say, how can Jesus do that? Because he knows the end. He knew Peter wasn't going to die. And when Peter was saying, I don't even know the Lord. I don't know who that is. Three times, I don't know. Remember that? I've never seen that guy in my life. The rooster crows. Jesus turns, the Bible says, looks at Peter. Peter's looking at Jesus, and Peter just melts. That was the sifting, to deny his name. Have you denied his name? God, is God speaking to you tonight? You can turn that around. You can say, Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me. And this is where we end. It matters when we take up his name because others are heading towards destruction. Listen. And you're the only one who can reach them. There's a reason why in our lives God has placed the people we meet in our lives. Who do you know? Who do you come in contact with? I want to tell you tonight, that's divine appointment. Do you know someone tonight? It's by a divine appointment. It's not an accident. I believe that it is sovereign. Did you bump into someone today? I believe that is a divine appointment. Now hear me out. I believe if your heart is seeking after God and you want to serve the Lord, it's a divine appointment. My wife and I just talked to somebody recently, and this is not what I'm talking about. A woman's been married in this church for 27 years, I think it is, and her husband got a computer and got on either Facebook or Twitter or whatever he got on and found his old high school honey. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's going on in your life, you're sinning, you're playing with fire, it causes a little bit of excitement in your brain. That's because you're sinning. and you're going to destroy your life and your family. And this guy went for it, destroyed his family. And that's happening, by the way, with tons of people. That is not from God. That's a satanic appointment. That's a temptation that came and you didn't resist it. But I'm talking about God working in your life. The people that you have in your life, I believe that God has put those people in our lives that we might reach them so that they're not destroyed. The Bible says that until Christ comes again, we are like him in this world. We take the love of God. Listen, remember the priest would carry the Ark of the Covenant? Remember that? And wherever they went, the Bible says, the Lord said that wherever you go, my presence will be there, and I am the God who abounds in mercy, who's forgiving and long-suffering and slow to wrath, slow to anger, forgiving generations to the, right? Listen, the priest carried the representation of God. That's all gone now. The representation of God is right here now in you. And wherever priest Betty or priest Susie or priest Michael or priest John goes these days as a believer, you are carrying mercy, grace, forgiveness to your workplace, to your sporting event, to your whatever it is. You're the one, not your neighbor next to you right now. No, listen, you are involved in people's lives somewhere that others around you are not. You are by divine appointment deployed because others are heading towards destruction. And I'll end with this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 says, Jesus speaking, he says, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Okay, Matthew 12, 30 removes all gray zone, period. Well, think about this next week. There's no gray zone. You're either for Jesus or you're against him. Verse 31, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good or its fruit bad, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for of tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you, with your mouth, in agreement with your heart, honored the Lord God in your life? Or are you one tonight who's saying, I don't need him? Just know this. Jesus says, you're either on my side or you're not. If you're not with me, you're scattering.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that examines the third of the Ten Commandments, which deals with taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. It's actually sort of a mini-series within Pastor Jack's topical collection of studies, which takes a look at all Ten Commandments as found in Exodus chapter 20, and will continue on Friday's edition of Real Radio. Tomorrow's broadcast is going to be a special edition of Real Radio. Pastor Jack's going to deal with SB 48. Now, it's a California bill that really will be creeping up on you in no time at all. We'll be interviewing Dr. John Eastman and Gina Gleason on SB 48. Now, if you don't know about SB 48, you really should. And by this time tomorrow, I bet you will. If you're a parent and you share the Bible worldview, well, you should be alarmed and outraged by what SB 48 is trying to do. Now, you may not think yourself political, but this is one you've got to pay attention to. Join us tomorrow here on Real Radio to learn what you can do. Meanwhile, you can also visit us at realradioactive.org, where we've got a link all about SB 48, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.